today earlier this week, and one of my tips here is that we be reminded often what does it mean to be a Presbyterian, because everybody tends to be congregational in perspective, but actually biblically we should have a broader view of the church than just us, and one of the ways we can do that is because we believe in the broader church concept, is that and we have a regional home missionary. So, and Dave's job is to help churches get planted in the areas of our presbytery. That's Southern California, Arizona, and Hawaii. So that's what the church is called Dave to do. And so when Dave was here, I wanted him to do that and update us. I tried to get Ross Green to do it last Sunday when Ross was here.
No, he
was up with Nationwide.
He was with David, David Francisco.
Yeah, to mission work, to visit. And one of the members of that mission, if I mentioned it to you last Sunday, the one at Dana Point,
was here this morning. Right? As a matter of fact, he's calling his wife, who is ill. She did not come. And he and the two children said they're going to try and sneak back in if she's okay.
Okay. So that was something from the Dana Point book.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I've emailed the pastor that for this week.
Wonderful. Great.
So Dave doesn't talk to us about Southern California. We all know what this is, right?
Though his artistic skills leave something to be desired.
Yeah, but his, where's Plugget? Plugget wants to, he prints better than I.
Let's pray.
We praise you that you have saved us. We thank you for that. We thank you that we can participate in spreading the gospel to other people, both here around where we live, but also, Lord, in other areas of this country that you have placed us in. Pray for Dave that you would be with him, give him good work and success as the gospel would go out in churches and give us information.
Yes.
Pray for wisdom as we listen to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Right. Thank you, John. That's what I thought I would do, is spend these 40 minutes in something just of a, probably a recap for some of you, a survey of the mission works of the Presbytery of Southern California as they currently stand and as some of the potential for works out there, which get my juices flowing. When I call this the Presbytery of Southern California, John, how long has it been since Calvin? It's 8, 9, 10 years now. We've always thought that that needs some qualification. Right. The Presbytery of Southern California and beyond. Maybe that's how we should put it in our directory of the OPC until such time as we actually change the name. Or maybe the Lord's blessing, and he really is doing some wonderful things in Arizona, I'll refer to now, that they'll make that not necessary. Maybe we could have a presbytery in Arizona if things keep going and growing the way that we have seen, especially in Phoenix and in Tucson. Here's what I did up on the board here. There are three regions of our presbytery now: Arizona, California, and as John pointed out, making reference to my incredible and impeccable artistic skills, Hawaii. So it's on both time zones. And we have currently three mission works in Arizona, three mission works in California, and one mission work in the state of Hawaii. So I'm just going to go through them. What are the red stars? The red stars represent the mission works where people gather together to worship the Lord on Sunday in a language not English, in other than the English language. INV, which is using the building of Calvin OPC in Phoenix, worships in Spanish, La Iglesia Nueva Vida, INV. Christ in Heaven, meeting in their own rented facility in currently Garden Grove, worships in Korean, and then they have a second worship service in English. And Resurrection, using the Westminster OPC building, their facility, meets for worship in Vietnamese. So it's interesting that of the seven, this actually I could have put my brother's name of the mission work on the board. Hawaii is its own draw, but I should at least remind us all that the name of this mission work is Redeemer. Redeemer Hawaii. Your pastor, Mark Schroeder, and your missionary, Dave Crum, are on the session of that mission work. As Doug and his wife Sue are off the island on the mainland, vacationing these 2 weeks, Mark, Tammy, children are there, where Mark ministers the word, and also they're getting in some well-earned vacation. By the way, real quick, there's a couple stories I want to tell. They're so exciting. But I just have to tell at least my take on winter camp. Last week, 2 weekends ago, senior high and collegiate winter camp. One, it was huge. There were 91 total people in this camp. The lady who directs it, she's new. She walked in to meet me face-to-face and go over some things. And she said, this has capacity of 75 people. How can you even get 91 people in here? I said, but it's okay, right? We're not in trouble, are we? And Pastor Mark's Bible studies, teachings, talks on Friday night, Saturday, twice in worship on Sunday, once Monday morning, were really wonderful, superb, blessed of the Lord. Such the question and answer on Monday morning went, about 40 minutes long. So many questions the young people had and came with. So I thank you for sending and lending him to us for winter camp this year. I thank the session in particular. So that's how. So now, Verde Valley. Verde Valley is northeast of Prescott, Arizona. Those of you who know the northern Arizona area know that there is not a lot of population centers. The thinking, hopefully, the prayer over the years that Pastor Charlie Perkins in Prescott wanted to get a work started up there, he thought that from areas like Jerome, don't know if you know these towns, that's an interesting town, a real challenge, going door to door and preaching the gospel there. Yeah, you'll find everything, but not Orthodox Christianity. Sonoma, even more so. I'm told that's one of the three of the matrix of all the New Agers worldwide, let alone this country. But from these areas, Cottonwood, Sonoma, Jerome, and like they're hopefully the idea is that there's enough population base to both through outreach and evangelism, as well as those who are looking for reformed worship, reformed life, reformed faith. This work, the man there, his name is Charlie. Brian Chang, dear man, serving with his wife Sarah and their children, now three, I believe. A tough area, quite frankly. They've gained a family, and through moving their life, they've lost a family. They gain an individual, and they lose an individual. Their numbers have not decreased, but their numbers also have not increased. And we just really solicit the prayers of God's people that the Lord would be pleased to bless his very diligent efforts and also the outreach of the entire church so that work grows. It's not clear to us, the mission committee, how long they'll be able to hang in there if there's not growth in the not-too-distant future. I believe you probably know through my grapevine articles that the mission work, which is under the oversight of this Calvin Phoenix session, received a very serious blow last year when they lost their pastor. He bolted the ministry. He bolted his family. He bolted the church. Yeah. And it was a real heartbreaker. The 40 or so, sometimes more, people who are members of Calvin, but who worship in Spanish, have said very clearly, we want to remain in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And that was so dear that there were enough of us thinking, you know, we don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to make this work. But we sure are not going to give up on the idea, nor on these people. We're still looking to this day for a bilingual man who could serve their needs. And we, the session and I, think that the best way to go is that this man would be on the staff of Calvin. Calvin is doing very well numerically and financially. The Lord has prospered them. They've grown. They've got to not blow out the walls of their current sanctuary where they meet. They're going to scuttle that one, use it for Sunday school, and build another building on the property altogether. Those are the plans. Although that will be a challenge, all the costs of a brand new building and an associate pastor. But the thought is that they would call an associate and that he would minister first in Spanish to the needs of these saints and help them to grow. But also he would also be on the session and ministering in English along with Pastor Mike Babcock there in Phoenix. And just an update on that. I think John knows from my meeting at Presbytery that we tried presenting this, the session and I, about 2 months ago, and it didn't go particularly well. The key figures, the men that we need to persuade, were not persuaded, and they didn't see how this was going to fly or work. And their concerns are very legitimate. One is that the people here, where they live, is not in the Scottsdale area of Phoenix, where the church meets. So they're thinking, we're going to have a blended or kind of ingrafted Spanish ministry in an English church through translation, but then we'll have a pastor from time to time for our needs. At first, they were very reticent, to say the least. But I have heard, and Jane, this is news to you, actually, that just in the last week or two, they're rethinking this. And we're not sure that we see another solution to this challenge of continuing to work with the gospel in Spanish to the large Hispanic community of the Phoenix, Arizona area. Covenant Tucson is an English-speaking work. Christopher Chelpka is the man in place there. He was the speaker at junior high camp just last week here in Idlewild. The Lord is blessing them, and we have... I probably should have put a blue star. I think I will. This is very exciting. Oh. Why write on the board when I can just write on my hand and hold it up for you all to see? We have in the following works, elders or elder or elder deacon training going on currently as we speak. Now, as you know from the grapevines over the years, that's one of the ever-present ongoing prayer requests. Pray for elders, pray for elders. It's not just mission works that ask for prayer for elders. But the Lord is blessing. And there's already one man, a member in this particular mission work. We all know him, love him. He has a history of faithful service as an elder. We're just really waiting for the 12 months of our form of government to be up, where he's a member in our midst. And I think that one is fait accompli. He's a dear and godly man. He works as a judge in the appellate court and of Arizona. But I think his particular judgeship is at the federal level. Resurrection has two elders now, and they are and there's a man when I was with them not too long ago for the diaconate to be ordained as a deacon. And Christ in heaven. No, I knew something was wrong. I can't talk and do this at the same time. Although Pastor Young Kim and Sanjay Patel said that there is one possibility, but they've not started yet with this gentleman. But at Redeemer, as was mentioned by John Garrisey in worship this morning, one of the things that Mark Schroeder wants to do is meet with the man who we have already put forward as a candidate for elder. So that's exciting. And there might be a second candidate in the not too distant future. So Arizona. In California, we have Al Pontier, a name familiar to probably about all of you, and he is our Mr. Family Camp, serving faithfully in that capacity every single year as the MC, etc. Alan is ministering in Big Bear Valley OPC. I think they have experienced some of the same challenges of Verde Valley. Here is just a question of just how many people are available. Here's a question of how many people stay, more than just the snow community, those who come in rather to vacation during the winter months, but the local community that lives there. And they're struggling and would ask for prayer for financial and numeric growth too. Big Bear Valley OPC. In California also, as I mentioned, at the Westminster building, Resurrection. I asked Pastor BJ Grell if we couldn't, you know, really come behind these folks and have a full-on missions plant where we would support them, get the word out, support them in prayer, support them financially, and the like. And BJ said, you know, Dave, I appreciate your mentioning it. There might come that time when we would look for that and ask for that from the missions committee. Currently, what we need here is the right man for Resurrection OPC. They think it's a man who is an elder named Truyn Tran. But Brother Truyn isn't sure at times if he's indeed called to the ministry. And there are times when it's green light, and then there are times when it's yellow. And so that's a prayer concern for there, that the Lord would consolidate that in his heart, that Truyn would be convinced, and that he would have the initiative to go for it and spend time meeting with a man like this man right here, who serves on the credentials committee for the presbytery. Of the new ministers who would come into our midst. But exciting things are happening financially. This church is our second strongest mission work in their giving of all the mission works. And with a little bit of help, they could support a pastor today. And they don't have the expense of renting a facility. So that, neat things are happening there. But pray for the right man. I ask that we pray that it would be Trin Tran. No, I know him. I know his wife. I know their children. He's really beloved by that congregation. I think he would do a great job.
How many people go to his
restaurant? There are 40 every Sunday, but on a good turnout where family members in the Vietnamese community and or neighbors and visitors, they'll have 50. They've had 50 on a regular, not regular, but on an occasional basis over the last year. Truen is not preaching. BJ, he's reading BJ's sermons. And then one Sunday a month, Chuck McElhaney preaches, ministers the Lord's Supper, and then Truen Tran directly, spontaneously translates Chuck's sermons. So it's three Sundays, reading a manuscript of Pastor Grell's sermons that's been translated in the study at home. And then for the fourth Sunday, we have a live preacher, if you will, in the person of Chuck McElhaney, but through translation. So, and that's all wonderful. I think they're doing a great job. However, you can imagine that they would like to have a man who preaches in the Vietnamese language on a regular and weekly basis. Thank you, John, for asking questions. And probably the best way to do this, in the interest of time, is just ask any question that comes along. Christ in Heaven, I mentioned, is doing well on the whole. They have had their struggles, one of which was the fact that Reverend Kim, young Kim, had a heart attack 2 years ago. He has recovered. He has regained strength. But they are asking for prayer, soliciting prayer from the churches for their growth, numerical and financial. And then Redeemer in Hawaii. Apart from the fact that there's a candidate for elder, what you should all know about Redeemer is that the growth that came in the last year, and even growth of a new membership class going on right now, two families, one are military, but all the other growth, the majority of it, are all islanders. They live there full time. It's military, yes, but there's really been an influx of people who live and intend to continue living on the, I guess, would this be, yeah, I guess that would be Oahu. That's pretty poor. I at least have to do Pearl Harbor, don't I? There. On the island of Oahu. So that's exciting. Pastor Doug Watson feels he's just barely keeping up right now with all of the opportunities he has to follow up with visitors to the church, with elders training, new members class. He's been hopping busy, and that's the way the church planters of our mission works really enjoy it. They just bask in the Lord's goodness when they have all too much for their schedule to permit them to do, or so it seems. But what are the updates now? Yes, Diane. There have been 60 in worship for the last 2 months. Yeah. Yeah, they've really seen a tremendous growth spurt in the last 18 months. Yeah, that's true of Covenant Tucson too. 50 to 60 the last maybe 6 months or 8 months. here's a flash update. I learned about this yesterday, last evening. I think you've heard, really do the best they can with the facility that the Lord has provided for them for meeting for worship. This is school. The school is not all that helpful in terms of making it easy for them to rent and use on a Sunday. And there are certain things which are definitely a deterrent or detract from the area. The moms feel that the school area, inside and out the main cafeteria where they meet, is so dirty that they don't even want to put their babies down at any point during the hour, 15 minutes to an hour and a half worship plus Sunday school. Another challenge is that Pop Warner football is in the football field adjacent to the cafeteria where they meet. It does not have air conditioning, and Hawaii can get hot and muggy. There's no air conditioning. Where is the football field? It's actually this parking lot right here. You have about 10 feet between the doors and the football field. So during the fall season, and in the spring, you have the whistles and two or three games going on at the same time, and the parents cheering, all in direct conflict with the worship service. And if you close the doors, you roast. You just boil, you bake. So they can't do that either. So there are real severe limitations and handicaps to that building. And yet, Doug and others as they look for another place and a better place, more suitable for worship. And again, time after time after time, it falls through. It's just not easy in Hawaii to find a place to rent for a church building. They have all kinds of zoning laws, I-1, Industrial 1, I-2, and things like that, which may or may not have parallels in California. But Doug is finding out that the Hawaiian way of doing things is not like probably the states here, the continuous 48 of the United States. So there have been challenges, and I think the one that they liked, the session liked most, fell through recently because the owner would not budge on what he was asking for the property. And Doug Watson concluded, it's just too much money. Well, the development here is that just recently the church, knowing about this property, it's good location, it's large, what they call a footprint, or what's the basic area that we can build up or build out and change and modify for worship, and parking. They liked it. The church really, and they were very sad to hear that the session decided that it was just beyond reach, beyond their means. And the church is asking, you know, can't we, you know, come up with the funding through faith pledge or the like to be able, if it's, I think the difference that they were talking about was $20,000. And they said, if that's the right place, could we perhaps revisit that decision? Could you talk to the session about that? I'm sure your pastor Mark will hear about that when he's out there. So there's a blip on the radar again for the possibility of renting a place. And I know that this would greatly encourage the saints out there. So I have 10, 20 minutes. I want to give you an update on some developments recently in our ministry, the Ministry of the Missions Committee and the RHM, and fill you in on some of this wonderful news. As John said at the beginning of the Sunday school, the Francisco family is with him. It's at least half of your family, right? Or barely half. It would be half of your family are with us this morning. David just waved. David Francisco is, your membership to this day is with Christ of, it's not Christ.
It's with Oceanside currently.
Oceanside URC currently. And there have been a number of things that have happened recently in some of the changes, both in the local church situation as well as several of those churches. And the pastor with which David has known for quite some time, John Morsch is his name, through Brian Estelle of Westminster Seminary, contacted me asking, stating that the situation currently is just not that they can oversee the work that these men and others would like to see started in Dana Point, just north of San Clemente. And is it possible that the OPC could consider taking this and receiving it as a mission work of the OPC, taking it over? So we have had initial conversations and discussions. All are encouraged. I know Dave and Jane are. We've been with them 2 times now and look forward to being with them this afternoon. And there is a real spirit of encouragement on that group. Dick and Ross told me that there were between 40 and 50 people last Sunday when they went there and made a presentation on the OPC. That's fantastic. There were 18 people when we started in Tucson, Arizona. So these are really exciting developments. Your pastor, your pastor and elder John Garcy mentioned to you that he contacted John Morsch and started the ball rolling. You'd like to take him out, get to know him, and then talk him through what the process would be for transferring his credentials and bringing them into the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. The tests, and the like.
The credentials committee, which meets on the 13th of April.
13th of April. So I just wrote David and John after you and I spoke on Friday afternoon, saying that all seem to be in agreement. Credentials committee chair, you are chair, aren't you? I thought so. Credentials committee chair, candidates and credentials, plus the directors of home missions of our denomination, Dick, Ross Graham, and his associate Dick Gerber, all said to me in the last week, You know, we don't see why this shouldn't happen. Ross got that gleam in his eye, if you know the man. And he said, oh, yes, by all means. I think you should try to shoot for May. Try to shoot for May of this year, that we would officially and formally have a new mission work of the state of California, adding one to the list here. So that's a really exciting development. We have also heard of a young man who is a Westminster student. John Morse, by the way, graduated from Westminster in 08, right? Yeah, 28. And he is ordained in the URC. There's a man who's currently a student at Westminster, second-year student, if memory serves me correctly, a husband and a father of six children. They live in Hemet. He started a Bible study on his own. He was a little bit disenchanted as a Christian out there. Now, first I break your microphone. Now I've broken your lectern. Are we up to $400? this is an expensive visit. And basically what he did is he jumped in and filled the gap where there weren't solid Bible ministries going on in Hemet. And he has a Bible study going. They now use an E-evangelical, P-Presbyterian, C-building on Sunday afternoons, gratis, out there in Hemet. And they have between, say, 25 and 45 people meeting for Bible study on the Sunday afternoon. But what happened along the way, a funny thing happened in Seth Addison's life. He, under the study of the Word and teaching and preaching it, became convinced and convicted that there's more to this great faith than what he had always thought and been told and heard and believed. And he's come to absolute and enthusiastic conviction of what you know and cherish as the Reformed faith. So he spoke to Zach Keel. And Zach Keel called me about Seth Addison. Got a guy, he's got a Bible study in Hemet. Real new, real raw. He's brand new to theology. He decided to go to Westminster simply because he found out there was a Reformed seminary right in his backyard, as it were. And I think he told Jane and me when he and his wife Bridget, we went out to lunch and got to know each other. He takes the bus down, correct, Jane, from Hemet to Escondido. He does that, one, for cost, to save money. I mean, he's a married man with six children. And two, to spend time. So he can have time for his studies. Instead of driving, he studies on the bus. That work needs to be brought along and developed. I was going to try to be there between now and the 5 o'clock Dana Point. I thought we were eating together. I thought we were going to be here till 2:30 in the afternoon. And so I told Seth that it would be impossible for me to be there today. But I look forward to being with them next Sunday. And then, David, when I met with Ross and Dick, turns out that they were down for last week, and I believe one of them preached here. No, Mark preached. But anyway, they were here. They happen upon a man named Ben. I can't remember his last name right now. And he has the responsibility of starting, let's see, I better get my facts right here. But anyway, this is all brand new. But I have the basic right, at least. A daughter church of New Life OPC in La Mesa with Brian Tallman. New Life OPC in La Mesa. Ben, and I cannot remember his last name. This would be the El Cajon area or farther east. What did I say? I said New Life OPC? Old habits die hard. New Life PCA of La Mesa with Brian Tallman. Brian and this gentleman, Ben, together have asked themselves, and they want to at least investigate the possibility, wouldn't it work better and be a better fit for the OPC? So Ross and Dick met with this gentleman, too. And, you know, it's like I say, a brand new announcement here. But as if that's not enough, we, the Crumbs, and your daughter Judy, the Andersons, celebrating Mom's 90th birthday, were all together in worship at Providence in Temecula last Sunday. And after the worship service, the Franciscos were all there too. And after the worship service, a gentleman came up to me and he said, David, my daughter is formally being courted by a man who goes to a church in Palmdale, California. It turns out that the pastor, not the man who's courting my daughter, but the pastor, has become reformed in his convictions. And he has decided that he needs to have his work, his ministry, in a reformed denomination. Not just convinced that the sovereign God saves whom he will, and they are the elect from all eternity. That, but also that this works itself out in worship in the church and how the church is structured. And he wants to join up with a Reformed denomination, but he has said that he wants it to be the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Yeah. So I just heard this just last Sunday. We're going to try to get together with a gentleman from Palmdale, California, just as soon as is possible, just as soon as we can. Who knows how many of these will, you know, like pan out and the like. But we'll see. All of a sudden, it's some very exciting news in missions of your presbytery. And I say the last because you know him the best. Chris Hartshorn started Westminster in September, right? You're brand new, like freshman, right? New kid on the block. And Chris and his wife, whose name is? I asked last week, but I forgot your name, Megan. It's a pleasure to meet you, finally. They come to us. Well, let's see, were you married when you were in New York? You got married there. So, you know, there's something, Jane, that we knew we liked about her right away, right? Jane being from New York, I from New Jersey. And then via Kansas. And then the same funny thing that happened to Seth Addison and to so many of us, this gentleman in Palmdale, and to yours truly, too, the discovery of the richness of doctrine of the Reformed faith. And Chris enrolled and started matriculated at Westminster Seminary. And his desire, as you probably know, because I heard about Chris Hartshorn through an elder of Westminster Church, not the seminary, Westminster OPC in Westminster, California. That was Kurt Oliver. When you met him that Sunday, you might have met both Kurt and Joe. Gave me a call quickly, and that's when I emailed you shortly after that. And then through Mark Schroeder, pastor here of your church, speaking of Chris Hartshorn and Mark asking me, Mark being the chair of the missions committee, therefore he's my boss. And he said, you know, Dave, just also don't overlook or forget about Fullerton, because Chris would really like to start a work there. And Chris, his family, and some others have started a Bible study on Thursday nights in the town of Fullerton. And that's where you hail from, I guess. That's your California home base. Although, how do you get to Escondido? But you live here for the time being. This gets pretty complicated. And there's a wonderful, you know, new opportunity there too. And I know, and I told Chris so that I would like to be close to them and encourage them, pray for them, and to occasionally attend that Bible study on Thursday nights too. So there's a lot of stuff happening right now. I didn't even have really time to mention. Yes, I do. The fact that Phoenix, Calvin OPC of Phoenix, yes, they've decided to accommodate the new growth by enlarging the building. But the congregation was not completely decided on this. Which way should we go, Session? Should we build a new building or should we plant a daughter church? And what their decision was, let's build a new building for now. But let's not forget the dream to plant a new church. Phoenix is big. Phoenix has a lot of people in a lot of areas, all known as Phoenix. And they're thinking very seriously of sending an elder, at least one, and a group of 5 to 7 families who travel from an area known as Gilbert, that's southeast Phoenix, all the way up to Scottsdale every Sunday. But they're praying that the Lord would consolidate the growth and then have a solid group for the new building, but then send off a daughter church from Calvin in Phoenix, Arizona. So that's really an update, but I want to tell you a neat story about Mexico after Jim or others ask questions.
I understand Phoenix is the 8th largest city.
Wow. In California. Huh. In the United States.
San Diego used to be the 8th, but Phoenix is a little bit larger than San Diego.
They're leaving San Diego and moving to Arizona. No, it is large. And of course, but they too were hit really hard by the real estate fiasco of last year. Arizona was, as was California. So I think there might have been a little bit of a stall in that. But yeah, that city has a huge population base right now and seems to be continuing in its growth. So the fun story, it's just, I can't help but share this, even though the news is some 3 months old now. But I share it so that you can all be encouraged in your faith, in your prayer ministry, especially for others and family members. It's a family in Tijuana, Mexico. And I don't even know exactly how to tell this story because it's a story that comes full circle. So if it's a circle, you don't really know where to jump in and jump off. But I'll tell it this way. Some members of our church had an opportunity. I guess they all ended up being from Providence. We were thinking of making it from all over the churches of Southern California. It just proved to be too difficult to organize. We had an opportunity last fall to bless and help a family in Tijuana. As it turns out, Josh's grandpa was down with us one of the days that we did this. Abe Marcus, for those of you who don't know, his granddad was a man. Well, he is a man very close to me in friendship and ministry. Was the man who trained me in the early years of the Baja ministry, Grandpa Abe. So what happened was a pastor of one of our works in Tijuana called me and said, "Dave, we have a family here, and they are very dear. They're new to Tijuana." The father talked to his wife and said, "We're out of here." Here being not Oaxaca, but Michoacán. The violence has become too threatening. I don't feel safe living here. I'm underemployed. So there's poor employment and danger. So we're leaving. But I don't want to leave the country. I want to leave Michoacán. I'm told that there's employment in Tijuana, and that's where we're going to go. So they packed up their five children, all boys, husband, wife, and five children, and moved to Tijuana. Through relations of the church, Cristo Vive, they came and worshiped there, and they stayed, and they've been there ever since. Living in a 20 by 20, if that, building, thrown up of garage doors, plywood, cardboard, whatever you can find. So during the summer months of last year when they arrived, and then the windy fall, and you know, that they made that do for the time. But Pastor Adolfo asked, "Do you think that your church and churches could help our church in doing something more permanent for this very dear family? They've become a member, they've become membership, active family in our church right from the very beginning." And I said to him, "I think that that would be meet with great interest here in our churches." So I put the word out. The men of the church down there in Tijuana poured a slab for a 22 foot by 22 foot. Now that's about the size of a two-car garage in the United States. A building that would be their home, be their house and home. And then members of the OPC went down and we put up four walls and all of the rafters and most of half of the sheeting in one day in November of last year. And then a man who is at the Escondido URC, where Abe, grandpa to Josh here, and his wife Doris worship and minister, a man by the name of Cooper, came down and did the final touches on that house inside and out. It was a wonderful opportunity. We got to know them, hear their testimony. The mom, I spoke to the father right around the week after Christmas. The mom asked if she could speak to me on the phone. She takes the cell phone and says, "Hermano David, please pass our gratitude to all the churches in Southern California for our new house. We moved in on Christmas Eve day." You remember that was a Saturday. "We moved in on Christmas Eve day, and tell all the churches my house is bien calientita. It has insulation between the drywall and the walls, the studs, and no more drafty holes with the wind whipping through." And she was blessed beyond measure and wanted to communicate that to the churches. So I sent the men from Providence back, my son Adrian, on that Saturday night that we got this pretty large work done in one day, because I was invited to stay overnight and preach the next day. A golden opportunity for me, because I planted that church before Adolfo was brought on the scene and have many dear friendships and memories with that local congregation. As I so I preached and the service was over and they had a meal afterwards. Pause. And I meet a family over this meal, and he says, "Do you remember meeting me?" I said, "No, I really don't." He said, "It was 5 years ago, but I was brought here to this church. This is so that you don't grow weary in your prayers and that you would not give up," Luke chapter 18, "to persist in prayer for friends and loved ones." And I was brought to this church by a friend of mine from work. And I went to your church, this church, just to get him off my back. And I said to my wife, "We'll go once, but I will not go again." Well, between that time, and there was a period of time that passed, but between then and today, the Lord has worked faith in my heart. They're currently, or back then in November, they were in a new members class in the Tijuana church called Christ Lives Presbyterian. And I said, so who was this friend with whom you work that was bugging you? Just come to church with me. Just come to church with me. He said, his name is Robert and Marina Arcos. Robert Arcos. Robert, his wife Marina, their two daughters are currently members of Benita Orthodox Presbyterian Church. They came to faith in Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of leading them to the Lord in our living room, as a matter of fact. They were in Tijuana for quite some time. They were a host family one year for Team Baja. But then the job situation that he has a solid job here in one of the schools, a superintendent of the maintenance in the Chula Vista area. And he just decided that they had to rent a place in the United States. It was too much to cross the border every day. They've joined Benita OPC. So it was... one of these full circle things. Robert invites the man that I was meeting after that worship service to church, and eventually the Holy Spirit works faith in his heart. They're joining the church. We saw Robert and Marina come to faith. They're members of Benita now. So who is Robert Arcos? And how did he hear about the gospel? Well, you could say that day in our house, in our living room after church service. No, there's more to it than that. His sister's name is Martha, and we met Martha and Dan Munoz 24 years ago. Martha was not a Christian at the time. Her husband was, but she was still very superstitiously and culturally Roman Catholic, and she was very upset by this, you know, her husband's faith, and it wouldn't sit well with her and not at all with her family until the scriptures were opened up to Martha, again, through the Holy Spirit, and she came to faith in Christ. Jane often said, you know, Martha is our little outreach. She's our little evangelist in this church. There's nobody that she won't bring to church or talk to about salvation by grace through a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and faith in him. And what a blessing this family is. About 2-3 years ago, I was at an RHM conference with your pastor, Mark, in Florida, when the call came on my cell phone. It was a Thursday night from Jane. Dave, just for your prayers, Dan Munoz dropped dead today. When Martha came back from our Heritage Christian School class day to Tijuana, there was her husband on the living room floor. He'd had a massive heart attack. Just some of the things that Martha has endured over the years. Martha said to us on more than one occasion, my prayer has always been that the Lord would work and would bring salvation to one of my many brothers and sisters. Do I have it right when I say she has 12? That one of my brothers or one of my sisters would be my brother or sister in Christ. She prayed that prayer for I asked the Munozes, the Arcoses, was this 20 years? And they said yes. Robert Arcos is Martha's brother. Right. And the Lord, after 20 years of prayer, brought Robert to faith in Jesus Christ. Robert invited this man that I'm meeting in Tijuana. Now they are trusting in Christ and they're becoming members of the church down there. So I know that in this room and in our own family, there are those for whom you have prayed many, many years. And the temptation is to give up. You know, just close the doors. They're not listening. They're not going to hear. I've done all that I can do. But I wanted you to hear that story, as so many of us were just surprised by the wonderful and sovereign grace of our Lord. We have still communication with our churches in Tijuana. That is no longer the focus of my ministry, but it is good to be with them occasionally and to hear from them, especially stories like this. It's 12:10. I think it'd be fine if I closed us in prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for that, the God that you are. First of all, that the risen Lord Jesus Christ is the one who triumphantly acknowledges all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. The Messiah who has come and accomplished the will of the Father who sent him. And in resurrection victory then says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We thank you, Lord, that this commission is one that is really the outworking of your plan for the nations in eternity and brought about in history. that Jesus Christ promises to be with those who go in his name to make disciples, even to the end of the age. We praise you that the Spirit of God the Father and God the Son does bless the preaching of the gospel, either formally from pulpits or informally, the witness of the word through family relationships. Women like Martha Munoz, who has known great joy in Christ, but has known great suffering through her life too, but then whose heart was gladdened just several years ago when the Lord answered her prayer, "Lord, grant me one brother or one sister to become my brother or my sister in Christ Jesus." And you work faith in Robert Arcos' heart and that of his wife and their children, who are now at Bonita Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And then Robert, who cannot stop inviting people to come to church, and was bugging this one co-worker to go to church with him. And then, Lord, again, your wonderful majesty and loving kindness that saves us. As Titus says, not because of works of righteousness done by us, but because of your own mercy. Lord, we thank you as we see the work that you are doing locally in Tijuana, or forming a presbytery of the Presbyterian Church Reformed in Baja California, or the works of this presbytery from Arizona to Hawaii, people worshiping you in different languages, four different languages on any given Lord's Day. And then, Lord, the new works that have sprung up just recently. And we, because of the pressing or the wonderful opportunity and the dates of Dana Point, Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray your Spirit's lead and guidance on all of us involved in encouraging the saints in this work. Pastor John, and together with his wife, Elder David Francisco, his wife and family. Lord, we pray that you would do a mighty work there, and that a solid church of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, true to his word, would be planted just as soon, Lord, as you deem appropriate, just when you say yes. We do pray for John and his meeting with John Garrisey and the Credentials Committee. We pray for me in coordinating this with the Missions Committee and the works of our churches. And we pray that you would be pleased to bring this to pass, to bring it to fruition. For it has been the ongoing prayer of the saints there in Dana Point now for some years. And we thank you, Lord, that you have encouraged them and increased their joy with this that they received with such good news that it looks like they're moving towards becoming a mission work of the OPC. Lord, the glory is not for us or unto us, not unto us, but to thy name be the glory now and forever. Do these things, Lord, so that your renown would be made known from sea to sea, and even to the ends of the earth. We thank you that you have, as a church in the Lord Jesus Christ, given us the wonderful privileges and the responsibility to be active in sharing our faith. And we pray that you would hear our prayers and bless this, the effort of missions of this particular presbytery. And we ask it in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.